the language of the universe.
But I don't understand it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Math and Physics Podcast. I am coming to you guys without Ray once again. There are reasons for this. Personal reasons, as well as right now, he is sick. And so I said, you know what? I have something that I want to talk about that I can do on my own. So why not do it? Maybe like a 30-second update about what's going on with the podcast. Ray and I have been talking a lot recently about what we want to do with the podcast. Obviously, we haven't been posting as much as we used to, which is something we're aware of, and we've realized that, you know what, this is something that we want to do. And so recently we've been talking a lot. We don't live in the same city anymore, so that's obviously harder, but we've been talking a lot over FaceTime, and we're actively working harder than we've ever worked behind the scenes to get this whole thing back on the rails. So let's get this episode started. You probably read the title, so here I am. I do apologize. I have to apologize to every single one of you out there. I have been put on the record. I don't know. I forget which episode. I know it's more than one episode, but everybody knows that Rayhan was into statistics during his undergrad, and I did not like statistics at all. And I made that very clear on the podcast. I have gone on the record saying that everybody who likes statistics is a nerd, which is not true. And I've also, you know, bashed the entire field of statistics. The ironic part is that now in my master's, I've been exposed to a lot of statistics recently, because I am now studying machine learning at a theoretical/practical level, which if you get into machine learning at all, especially the theoretical stuff, I know you can do a lot of ML projects that you can find on GitHub or something, and it's just writing a couple of functions and hitting run, right? Technically, that is machine learning. You can train your models by not doing any of the math. But at a master's level, taking a graduate machine learning course, you have to do statistics. Because the entire foundation of machine learning, especially deep learning in a more like abstract way, is statistics. It's about taking data and creating models. And I'm going to get into that in just a little bit. So yes, I'm a physics student who is still interested in physics, right? I'm doing a master's in physics, but more specifically, I am learning about machine learning to apply all of those tools to doing research within the field of astronomy and astrophysics. So having done about a month of courses now, I actually do like statistics. I think it is very interesting. And so the whole point of this episode is dedicated to kind of coming clean about me not liking statistics in the past and explaining why I now think statistic is very cool and Chad-like, and why, you know, if I had to design a physics program for undergrads, using all of the knowledge I have about what I've gone through, I would change definitely change a lot of things. First of all, computer science programming should be mandatory, okay? If you are a physics undergrad, especially if you're in first year, please, if it's not mandatory, please just take a computer science course. Python, you know, whatever you want. Python is especially good because so many people use it. That's not the only reason why it's good, but anyways. Number two, statistics. Please take a stats class. It's something that I never did, and it's something I wish I did, because once you get to the end of your undergrad, you'll realize that, you know what, theory is cool, but there is so much more to interacting with the universe than sitting down and learning about theory or theorizing yourself about new ideas. It's just so much more to it, and statistics is basically the bridge between reality and what we know about reality. So the way I have been taught, the way I've been taught to think about statistics is, oh, statistics deals with uncertainty. It's the mathematics behind uncertainty and how, you know, if you have multiple uncertain quantities, how those things combine together and tell you about the situation as a whole. That really turned me off of the subject. It sounded super boring, to be quite frank. I thought, you know, why would I care about uncertainty if I can just be certain? You know, I was way more of a theoretical guy in theory. I don't, that doesn't really make sense. What I'm trying to say is, in my head, I was like, if I can just learn about physics and I can learn these equations, I can just do everything for certain. And I don't have to deal with having some detector that has an uncertainty and then having to propagate that through all of my calculations. It's like, no, put that to the side. I don't want to deal with this at all. But now I have a different view. I don't think of it as dealing with uncertainty, calculating as blah, blah, blah. Here's how I think of it. And I think this is very, a lot more engaging and intellectually stimulating. So let's do a little thought experiment really quickly. So imagine the real world. And this is separate from your thoughts about the real world. So the universe exists whether you are there to observe it or not. Now, this is debatable, but let's just pretend for a second. You have this three-dimensional playing field that also evolves in time, and those two things are interwoven together. So we can just consider it as one four-dimensional object. You can move in space, you can move in time. We're not going to deal with thoughts about relativity and all that, but just imagine it as this one object. And then there are observers that exist within the universe. So the universe itself doesn't even care what you think about it, right? It is very impartial. You can sit there all day and say, I think E equals mc squared. But the universe as an entity will keep on evolving, and it'll keep interacting in the way that it does, regardless of what you believe is true, right? If we bring it back to the 1700s, people were thinking, all right, Newton dropped on the scene. He says F equals MA. Now everybody thinks, all right, F equals MA. I'm going to use this to calculate things and to make predictions. This is what I believe to be true in the universe. The universe still didn't care. At the time, black holes still existed, regardless of what our ideas were able to predict. And then once our ideas changed, then yeah, we were able to say, hey, black holes are things that may exist, they may not. And then we can go and look for them and confirm that, yeah, maybe they do actually exist, which they definitely do. So you have on one side of this dipole, you have the universe, the entire thing separate from your ideas. And then on the other side, you have the collection of all thoughts about the world. And this is separate from the world itself. You just have the thoughts about the world. So I think that E equals MC squared. I think that math exists and is true and is useful. It doesn't matter whether it is or not. All of these things are part of this left-hand side, I'll call it. So what I've come to learn and appreciate is that statistics lives in the space between these two objects, these two entities. It's the bridge between your ideas about the world in one direction towards the universe itself, but then also, and more importantly, it is the two-way bridge with the arrow pointing from the universe to your ideas, okay? So probability exists in the realm of theory still, right? It goes from, okay, we have these models and these parameters and all of these ideas about how probability works in the theoretical realm. And then we can turn around and go, okay, let me take some data. I think this process is Gaussian. I think that when I take a picture of a star, that the amount of photons that hit each pixel on my camera is going to follow a Poisson distribution. And so that is going from my ideas, saying, okay, I know this and this and this about probability, and I'm going to turn around and probe the universe to see, yeah, okay, well, these ideas are useful for characterizing processes that exist in the universe. Now, the difference between probability and statistics is that statistics actually goes the other way around. So instead of starting with theory, going towards the real world, you start with the real world. It is the inverse process of what I just described. So you go from universe. I am going to take data. I'm going to measure something that exists, that is happening. And then I'm going to use statistics to then try to figure out what mechanisms exist, what relationships are embedded within the fabric of this universe that explain to me where this data came from, right? When I take a picture of a star, think about what is happening. There is a source of light somewhere in the universe that is constantly shedding energy. It's like, you know, when, I don't know why this example came to mind, but imagine you make an ice cube with black food dye inside of the water, and then you were to put that ice cube and suspend it in like room temperature water. The ice cube would slowly melt and it would shed its outer layers, and the ink would slowly permeate throughout the water. This is exactly what's happening via analogy. Sorry, I just hit the mic. With a star, right? It is just shedding layers of photons that are being sent just in every single direction. And what you're doing is, well, your eye or a camera, let's just say it's the same process, right? It absorbs the photons that have been emitted. But why do you think astronomers have the audacity to turn around and write a textbook saying the sun weighs this much, the sun is this far away, this galaxy has this many stars, when all that's really happening is we're looking up at the sky, taking buckets and we're just scooping up photons that are coming towards us and then looking at what we've just scooped up. And then we say, oh yeah, this is how much this star weighs, or this is the radius of this star. What is actually happening is we are using data analysis I don't know what the word is, but we are analyzing the data. We are figuring out what the real world data has to tell us about the processes that are going on. And that is all statistics. The reason why it is so interesting is because statistics is an ill-defined problem, meaning that when you gather data, there's an infinite amount of solutions that can fit your data. It is more of a, I want to say like a creative process of trying to filter out what is and what isn't relevant to the thing that you're doing. It's really cool. I remember this is a little bit of a tangent, but related. When I was in first year, I was taking a linear algebra class, and I literally had a dream about vectors. And I remember this so clearly because I woke up and I was like, damn, I am literally dreaming about math right now. But it was cool because after that moment, I actually had an easier time visualizing things in my courses. And I've kept that with me ever since. And now that I'm doing statistics and machine learning, there are so many parallels between fields that being able to properly visualize just problems in general is so useful, especially when we're discussing things like, okay, this data has been underfit, or sorry, your model underfits your data, or it overfits your data. The way you can think about it is that data is inherently noisy. Why? Because, well, the answer is, well, there are things that make data noisy, like, let's say, the tools that you're using. For example, if you're measuring something with a ruler, and your ruler goes down to the millimeter, right? You'll never be able to know exactly how long the thing you're measuring is, because that is it's a floating point. It's a number that has a lot of decimal points that you can't actually determine just by using your eyes. So the tools that you use inject some uncertainty into the data you're collecting. But then there's also something which, you know, I mean, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you'll know that I love this, and it is quantum mechanics, which is also a reason why my newfound love for statistics is very near and dear to my heart, is because the universe is inherently probabilistic. You cannot describe the universe, no matter how you want to frame it, without learning about uncertain things. You know, unfortunately, I totally forgot what I was talking about before starting a tangent about quantum mechanics, but I do have a couple of notes down here, so I can just go back to what I've written down. So yeah, as I was saying a little bit earlier, maybe like 10 minutes ago, statistics is, it says this, it says, here is a data set that I found in the wild, right? I went out. It doesn't matter where the data came from. Now you have an array of numbers. It doesn't even have to be numbers, quite frankly. It's just that, you know, as the Petit Prince likes to say, you know, grown-ups like numbers. So typically, as physicists, we deal with mostly numbers all the time. And then what I ask as a scientist is, you know, please, I'm begging of you, can you tell me what this data has to say about where it came from? Data, most of the time, is just a messenger. You have a source, you have a sink, and the things that travel in between are messengers. I always go back to the analogy, not the analogy, the example of a star, because, well, I can go on about stars all day long, but because it illustrates what I just said so well. You have something that produces photons, and then the photons are just messengers that carry information about what is going on inside of that star, right? The reason why we can pass the light through a spectrograph and say there is hydrogen here, helium, lithium, whatever, whatever, inside the star. The reason we can say that is because there is information embedded within the light, within the messenger, the carrier of information between this source. And here the sink is a camera, or, you know, I mean, a spectrograph is just a different type of camera, but, you know, well, that's not it. Just forget what I'm saying about spectrographs. So yeah, what you might notice is how when you get to this level, an incredible, and by what I mean by this level is like the research level, because as a scientist, that is ultimately what you have to become, is a researcher. If you're, you know, going through the academic route, because that's all anybody cares about. Nobody cares about what you enjoy doing. I can tell people that I like hiking, but as a scientist, my value is determined by what I'm investigating and how well I can communicate that to the world. And unfortunately, you know, as a younger, curious little boy, I used to think that scientists, you know, they sat in a room with a piece of chalk and just sat there and thought all day, saying, you know, maybe I will solve this equation today and it will unlock the secrets of the universe. Which is definitely true for some people. Some people definitely do just think a lot. But, you know, a vast majority of scientists, what they do is they ask a question. They say, if I look at this part of the universe in some unique way, what kind of information can I extract that will tell me something interesting about the mechanism? And this is such a general statement because it goes for everything, right? For example, what I'm doing in, you know, calibrating adaptive optics systems, essentially I'm solving a problem, but by solving that problem, I am learning about light. What does this have to do with statistics? Well, as I said earlier, there's a lot of as I saids in this episode, but I guess that's the nature of just talking to yourself in your bedroom. So yes, as I said earlier, figuring out how the universe works has inherent uncertainty within it. That is just something that we've figured out, aka quantum mechanics, and something that is just true about the nature of asking questions. So the bridge between the universe itself and our thoughts about the universe is statistics, and it is why I am sorry for bashing statistics. It is cool. I wish I would have taken it earlier, and I wish, if you're listening to this, you also enjoy statistics as much as it should be appreciated. So thank you.